We're going to continue this morning, again, this whole idea of campfires this summer, thinking about, again, fire and the image of fire within Scripture. And we've kind of been down some different roads and looked at different images. Hopefully you remember some of them. Again, hopefully you're looking for them as you do your devotions and look through the Word of God in your life. This morning, we look at the Old Testament book of Psalms, where we look at Psalm 39, and we take a look at where fire is mentioned and how that fire lives itself out within our lives today. Psalm 39. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. But when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me, and as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before me. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I would not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. You rebuke and discipline men for their sin. You consume their wealth like a moth. Each man is but a breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping, for I dwell with you as an alien, a stranger with all my fathers were. Look away from me that I may rejoice again before I depart and am no more. This is the word of God. Many of you have been to the mechanic. I'm sure within the recent few weeks of this summer, with all the traveling and so forth, we end up taking these things called cars and trucks and vehicles to our mechanics. And every day it seems to be more complex. Every day it seems to be just a little bit more money, a little bit more involved. But we go back to these proverbial grease monkeys in order to get our machines fixed. Well, and sometimes even these grease monkeys struggle with what they do and how important they are. And in one case, one day, one of these mechanics, these grease monkeys, one of the best in town, was working on the local heart surgeon's Mercedes-Benz. And he looked at this car, and he had taken apart the engine, and he had taken apart all the seals, and he had looked at the internal parts, and he knew he had to replace some pistons, and he had to change some valves. And as he sat there, his mind began to reel about, you know, this doctor thinks he's so important, and look at me, I am so important. And as he worked on that car, it just built a little bit more and a little bit more, and finally, he put it all back together, and finally he sees the doctor coming through the doors to talk about his car and what the outcome would be. And he looked at the doctor and he said, you know, we're really not all that different. He says, I don't get it. He says, you know, I take apart the heart of your car. I replace the valves. I look at the internal mechanisms. If it wasn't for me, your car would be dead. Really, there is no difference in us. And yet you get all the accolades and you get all the money and you're somebody and you belong to the country club and oh, big deal. You know, hey, doc, what is the difference between you and I? And he looked at the mechanic and he said, "You try doing that while the motor's running." Okay, think about that. It's our human nature so often to think about what we don't have, to get caught up in who we may not be, to get caught up in what other people are, or again, who people think they are. And we struggle. And when we do, a fire begins to burn within us. I mean, really, the passage from Psalm here, 39, it's a story about the heart of humans. It's a story about our heart. And the question is whether our heart is going to be one that is filled with sin or one that is going to be filled with a Savior. And really, it's a psalm and it's a fire that's about arson. Because as you hear this and as you read these words, you find out that this fire is started by us. And we're the ones that begin to set ablaze our spirit. And we're the ones that begin to consume who we are from the inside out if we allow ourselves to be filled with sin. And so again this morning, when we think about this whole idea of fire, what's burning inside of you? What is it that's aflame within you? And is it something that is productive or something that is destructive? If you look at this passage, you look at the first six verses, and you've got to ask yourself whether or not we have a closed heart. A closed heart. I said, "I'll watch my ways. I'll keep my tongue from sin. I'll put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. But when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me, and as I meditated, the fire burned." Do you have a closed heart? So often we think, oh, you know, if you can't say anything, don't say anything at all. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. We tend to be taught to just keep it in and push it down. And yet what we see here from the psalmist is he did exactly that. He could have made comment. He could have said things. But in his mind, he thought, you know what? I'm going to muzzle it. I'm going to shut it down. I'm the one who's going to be silent. I'm going to be closed. And in the process, the anger raged within him. And in the process, the jealousy raged within him. The hate. Again, the ability to become bitter. It all burned within him. Because his heart was closed. It came to the point where as he meditated, it's supposed to be a God thing. I'm going to meditate on God. I'm going to look at the world around me. I'm going to look at the doctor's Mercedes and realize I fixed it. But he's somebody and I'm not. But he's got everything and I don't. But it's not fair that they did and we didn't. And the list goes on, and as we meditate and think we're doing the godly thing, we are consumed by our own fire, set by ourselves, burning us up from inside out. You read this psalm, you realize that life is short. It's just a breath. But if we have a closed heart, how miserable and lonely and painful it can be. This is the scriptural definition of heartburn, folks. where we just let it all get us worked up until it destroys us because our heart is closed. If you can imagine two boys arguing, I'm sure that never happened in the Stapert home. Two boys arguing, no, never. And they, again, began with words, and after words comes, you know, the one punch, and then the two punch, and then pretty soon it's get a ruler out or a baseball bat. I'm sure that never happened in the Stapert family, all right? Mom gets wind of it, hears what's going on, walks into the room and says, "You know what? You boys had better shape up. The only two siblings you have, that's your only brother, that's your only brother. You better love each other." And then she thought, "I will play the best card of all." She says, "How would you feel if your brother died tonight?" And both the boys kind of dropped with the head in their hands and looked at their shoes. And you could tell she kind of hit a nerve. And then one of the boys looked at her and said, "All right, Mom, I'll forgive him. But if he's alive in the morning, he better watch out." Closed heart. And that heart begins to burn and slowly be taken away. But there is another way, and that is having a confessing heart. A confessing heart. You look at the second part of that passage, verses 7 through 11. "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." Suddenly, the psalmist understands that, you know what? I thought I was somebody. I was shoving all this stuff down. Slowly but surely, I was being consumed from within, and I realized my only hope is in you. My strength is in you. We sang it as we went to the Word. That suddenly the psalmist understands that when it comes to our heart, a confessing heart is the beginning of moving forward. Where he goes on to say, "Save me. I can't save myself." Left to our own ways, we tend to again shove more and more stuff within. And yet he says, "Lord, I can't do it anymore. Save me." And ultimately what he says is, "You do it." Because again, if it's left to me, I will always think that I deserve more. I will always think I am better. I will always think that I got shortchanged. I will always move towards that human nature. And if it isn't you correcting me, if it isn't you living in me, then oh, this life will be short. And oh, this heartburn will be bad. And so again, he reminds us, if we can't have that closed heart, we can't live with that, then we've got to begin with a confessing heart. And that confessing heart is before all people and before the Almighty. But it doesn't stop there. Because if we confess, then we move on and we must have a connected heart. And if you read the closing of this chapter, you'll understand that suddenly he moves from being someone who is silent, someone who is closed, someone who is again heaping coals on that internal fire, to someone who says in his own words, "Hear me, listen to me, dwell here with me." It's the complete opposite of the first six verses in which he was closed. He is now connected. Connected with the Almighty, the one who does give meaning to life, the one who does fill our lives. No longer is he an island, but he is part of the family of God, part of again God's plan, knowing that God is in control and not he. So often we live our lives as islands. And when we look at our lives, men more than women, we tend to say, I will do it. I will take care of it. And we again continue to shove it all within ourselves. And yet here the psalmist makes it clear, let that go and get connected to the Almighty. Because it's there that there is hope. It's there that there is grace. It's there that there are possibilities for the future. We need to be people with connected hearts who dwell in the Lord, who know we are being listened to, who know that he is hearing us, who know that neither life nor death, nor angels, principalities, things present or things to come can ever separate us from the love of God. A little boy who came home from Sunday school at the end of the year was riding on that church bus. And as he rode on that church bus and as he looked through some of the stuff he got from his Sunday school teacher, he opened an envelope, and in that envelope was a card. There's a beautiful picture, and in that picture was a cross, and again was an image of God, of Christ on there, and at the bottom it simply said, have faith in God. He was amazed just by that statement, and he looked at that and he thought of all that he had learned, and about as quickly and suddenly a wind came through the window and sucked the card out the window of the bus. To his horror. And so what does he do? He stands up in the aisle of the bus and says, stop the bus, stop the bus. The bus driver slams the brake on and he continues to say, I've lost my faith. The bus stops, he gets out, he runs after the card, finds it, brings it back in, and one of the leaders kind of chuckles about it and says, oh, isn't that cute? And yet another one of the people on the bus looks and say that we would all be that concerned about losing our faith in God. How connected are we to the Almighty? How connected are we to the fact that he loved us enough to send his Son? How connected are we that amidst the world of chains, there is freedom in Christ? How connected are we that rather than burning up with jealousy and jamming stuff down within ourselves, trying to be the right people, but consuming ourselves from within with the fire of heartburn, are we ready to confess and to connect and let God reside within us? And know that presence and that hope for the life which he has planned with us. So this morning, we come back to the mechanic. And we come back to the surgeon. And we simply ask, do you need heart surgery this morning? I mean, we talked about Terry's dad. He needs heart surgery tomorrow. But how about you and me today, right now? Do you have a closed heart? Right now, do you think, man, I need a Tums? Because it's all jammed up inside and consuming you from within? Then come to the table and let go. Are you in the midst of that confessing heart? Maybe you're afraid of confessing all that's there. Do it. Let it go today. Or maybe you realize you need to be connected. There's something missing. There's something there. And you need to say, you know what? He's here. And he wants me to be his partner. He wants me to be there and to dwell with him. Today's the day to really connect. Heart surgery. Are you ready for it this morning?